So welcome everyone who's listening online as we continue our series. And this is the Jewishness of the Gospels, lesson number 2. And this lesson is on something that we talk about a whole lot, but I haven't really taught on necessarily in particular, and that's Lashon Hara. Everybody knows what that is. We want to talk about it a little bit and how it comes into place scripturally. First, we want to start off with something that seems maybe totally disconnected from it, but we want to start off here and see the connection. How many have ever heard of leprosy? Or leprosy. And I taught a little about, I taught a little bit about this in one of the Torah portions that came up about a month and a half ago. But having leprosy was a stigma, which I'm sure you can't imagine. But leprosy, there's what's referred to as modern leprosy that's called Hansen's disease. And this isn't that. This is a totally different thing. We talked about Hansen's disease, and the main way you contract it was by touching what? Remember? An armadillo, because they carry leprosy. So a lot of people in Texas, yeah, in the South, they would get it because, you know, you hit an armadillo on the road and you have to, someone touches it to pick it up, clean it, move it. So they carried leprosy. Modern-day Hansen's disease, and that's not what we're talking about. That's not biblical leprosy. Biblical leprosy is a physical manifestation of a spiritual issue. So right there, I want to pause you and let you swallow that really quick, not choke on that. Of a spiritual issue. So remember we talked about, well, let me just teach this, and then I'll have take some questions. So in Judaism, it's a common to have multiple opinions on a subject. It makes for great discussion. And this is what they did. This is what they still continue to do. The Talmud is basically Jewish case law, the writings of their arguments and their discussions, what they talked about. And you've heard me say this a long or many times. If someone wrote what everyone said here down today and put it in a book, and then 100 years from now someone looked at it, in effect, you could almost call it the Talmud of Emek Elohim. Because the Talmud consists of the writings of the rabbis, but also the writings of the students of the rabbis, and also writings of some of the students of the students of the rabbis. But that's how it works. That's how, you know, we see Rabbi Shaul. Why was he able to go and teach? Why did they still, you know, they knew he received Messiah. You know, they didn't think Messiah was Messiah. They didn't think Yeshua was Messiah, but yet they let him come in the synagogues and teach. Why? Just because? No, because of his status within in the community. Remember, he said, I'm a Jew of Jews. And he was a student of Gamaliel, who was the Rosh Sanhedrin, the leader of the Sanhedrin. Again, you've heard me say this kind of stuff, but when you hear it repeated, it sometimes sinks in a little deeper. Remember when they took the disciples to the Sanhedrin, what are we going to do with these guys? And everyone was saying, oh, they're going back and forth. And even in the movies, there's a whole group of the teachers there. And one of them, it's usually an older guy, he stands up and he says, men, gentlemen, lend me your ear, kind of thing. And everyone looks to him. Why? He's the head. He's the head of the Sanhedrin. He says, look, basically, in effect, a lot of people have come and said they're Messiah. They grew a following. And then they died. They weren't Messiah. Their following just fizzled away. If this man, Yeshua, is Messiah like he says he, well, his people that are following him who thinks he's Messiah, well, if he's not, they'll just fizzle away too. But if he is indeed Messiah, he is indeed who he says he is, and you keep beating these men and throwing them in prison, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. For those who are even listening to this, if you come to a place where you don't like something and you don't want to agree, that's a wonderful thing. But if you get in the way of what the Lord is doing, you're going to have some problems. I just leave it at that. There's people who listen to us and they're doing, not me, well, listen to us here and also listen to other people, and they're getting in the way of things, and things are happening that they can avoid if they would just go on about your business, leave us alone kind of thing. All of that being said, so there's two opinions from the rabbis regarding leprosy. In the Bible, leprosy is referred to as tzara'at. And we would see the stories of how it would appear in the people. They'd have to go to the priest. The priest would determine if it was tzara'at. They would come to the home, and it would be, sometimes it would be in the walls, in the bricks, in the mortar. Well, how did that happen? You ever have, and people would say, oh, well, it's mold, is what modern day people had to say about it, but it's not. It's a spiritual disease that is, and we'll talk about how it's contracted and the whole thing. But there are two opinions from the rabbis. The first one was this, and you've heard me talk about it a little bit. The first one comes from the idea of being stingy. Remember, I taught about this a while back. Someone who's not generous. The second one comes from evil speech, or Lashon Hara. So in one opinion of a rabbi, one example is given in the Talmud, and it's in Tractate Yoma on page 11b. And it is referred to as having a bad eye. You guys ever heard the term the evil eye or an evil eye? Well, who does the evil eye affect? Who does it negatively affect? The evil eye affects the one who's being looked upon. The whole story of the book of Job is his friends looking at him with the evil eye and allowing the accuser to go to God, bring accusations. The accuser comes down and just ravages his whole life, but it all starts with his friends. You know, with friends like that, who needs enemies, right? So in Yoma 11b, it says, the house belonging to one who dedicates his house to himself alone, who refuses to lend his vessels to others, and says that he does not have them, will be punished. The Holy One, blessed be he, publicizes his possessions for all to see when he is forced to empty them from his house due to leprosy. I was just reminded of something. I got a call about 2 weeks ago from my niece. And they're coming from Texas to go to Yosemite. And she called me, Uncle Brent, you know, we're flying in. Can we borrow some camping gear? And, you know, this is my sweet little niece who I love. One of about 25, 30 sweet little nieces that I love. And she's coming with my great niece I've never met. And so there's that natural part of you that wants to say, oh, you know, I don't have time to go through a bunch of camping gear and pull out a list of stuff for you. And with that comes the idea of saying, oh, well, you know, I don't have that. All connected to that. And I said, oh, of course, you know, send me a list that we'll work on. And the things we don't have, I'm telling you, hey, we actually don't have that. Remember when in the house with the leprosy, the person, they have leprosy on them. The priest says it's leprosy. He comes to the house, and he finds it in the walls. And what is done? What does the person have to do? They take everything out of the house, and they bring it outside. And everyone in the community sees everything they have. So last week, when the neighbor's wife came by your house and asked your wife if she can borrow, you know, that big pot that you want to use to make the matzo ball soup, and your wife said, oh, you know, I don't have one of those. Well, now it was right there for her to see. And she couldn't deny it. And so this is what one opinion was about it, which has proved out in a lot of different ways. Hallelujah. The second one, remember Messiah said, he talked about lending to the, he who lends to many or lends to his neighbor is a servant of the Lord. Something along, you can look that up. This is connected to that. Remember Messiah when he was buried. Can you imagine the Messiah of Israel going a representative of the Messiah going to Yosef of Arimathea and saying, hey, can we borrow your tomb to bury Messiah because we have no place to bury him? Oh, I don't have a tomb. Of course. He was required to. It wasn't just he had an option really to say no. He was required to. Being stingy will lead to leprosy. And again, leprosy, contrary to what you believe, I know you'll be chewing on this for a while, it's not a natural issue, it's a spiritual issue. So let me keep on moving with this. This idea includes one who lends his vessels to others. His house is not affected with leprosy. Someone who won't lend things out to your neighbor with the excuse you have nothing and don't have it. God basically, in effect, says, let's see what you have in your house and let's present it for everyone to see. You know, if someone asks you for something, don't lie about it. Just say no. Don't say I don't have it. If you have it, just say no. You don't want to set yourself up for something. Leprosy is a spiritual issue that manifests itself in the natural, like every other issue. Every natural issue on the earth started off or is because of a spiritual issue. Every bad thing you see on earth goes all the way back ultimately to the sin in the Garden of Eden. Everything. And a lot of sins in between, but ultimately back to that. Opinion number two, thought number two. Zaraat is brought on by what's known as Lashon Hara. That means evil speech. And it's very easy to see how you start talking bad about someone, you know that now. You feel like, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry I said that about such and such. On the other side of it, there's what is referred to as Lashon Tov, good speech. And in Judaism, you don't say, some of you may have heard someone say this to you at some point. In Judaism, you know, you think this about someone. You don't say all the wonderful things you think about them. You say about here. Because you don't want them to be affected by what's called the evil eye. Well, what is that? See, these are things we hear about, but we don't understand how they are practical. Oh, someone is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And they say this kind of stuff. Oh, this one's so wonderful, this and that. And then someone launches the evil eye on them. And what does it cause them to do? Oh, they're not, they're not that great. They're not all that. You said, they're not all that. So even when we're saying good things about people, we have to be careful how much we say. Because in the case of Job, they could have said, use Lashon Tov, but too much of it would have put him in the same position, where it gave the enemy the right to accuse and go to the father and say, look what his friends are saying about him. Let me test him out. God allowed him to be tested out. You remember when Messiah said to one of the disciples, Satan desires to sift you like wheat? Same thing. Something happened to where he had access to the father to say, hey, the father, you know, Messiah knew what was going on, and he said, he wants to sift you like wheat. May not have been anything that he did, but what someone else said about him, good or bad, especially the bad part, or the good in excess. Praise you, Lord. In the Mishnah, the original commentary of the Torah, this is from what the rabbis talked about. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, the command is given against talebearing. And if someone can pull it up, Leviticus 19:16, whoever's the first one to get there and just read it. Hey, I'm going to come over there and read it from your Bible because I don't have mine in front of me. I wanted to get on the recording. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:16. So you'll see that apparently there was enough of this going on that God had to say something about it. Ding, 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 ding. Whenever you see God having to say something about something, something's going on that he's correcting or dealing with. He's not just saying this for no reason. So there apparently were people, oh, you know, such and such. And this is a little community where, you know, if we were living back then and we came to the service today, then you'd go home and you guys may live right over there and right over there. We're all living right around here, and I'd see you maybe tomorrow or something. Maybe one of you guys would bring in a chicken for me to ceremonial dispatch for you and give it back to you or cook it. And then you may see somebody down by the water getting the woman at the well, watering the animals or watering the crops. Or you may need to go to the other person across town and get some corn from them. You know, I may go to Jewel and get some, Jewel, do you have any corn for me today? And I may go over to Jewel's house, and Jewel will say, certainly. I want you, yeah, give me one of them. Say, certainly, I have some corn for you. And I would say, wow, thank you for the corn. And I go back to my side of town and cook the corn. And that's how we live. And he may come over later on for something that he needed that I have. You knew about what was going on. Barbecue chicken. Okay, you want some barbecue, some chicken, Jewel. But this is how it worked. It wasn't any, it wasn't anonymous. You knew what was going on around you. Hallelujah. So why do we use the word? Or actually, back up a little bit. In Judaism, this type of speech is called is evil speech, lashon hara. Anything hara, ha is the, ra is bad. So speech, the bad, or tongue, the bad. The bad tongue, the bad speech. And it says that it kills. Scripture tells us lashon hara kills. And it says that it kills three people. So why do they use the word kill in relation to lashon hara? The next verse, I believe is 19:17, says, do not stand aside while your fellow's blood is shed. In Judaism, evil speech not only causes leprosy, but it's said to be like murder. You know, you can ruin someone's reputation really quick. You know, I'm dealing with someone internationally via a local person who is just using gross lashon hara against Rabbi Shapira in a crazy way. And it's getting dealt with. I just leave it at that. What's really bad about lashon hara is you do it against people you never even met. You never even know. I had someone send me a text, oh, well, such and such said this about his book. And he gave some really good information about to say something about his book. He made a really good rebuttal of it. And so they're passing me, and I said, wait a minute. I said, what they're saying is not true, but that's okay. But here's what I said. So what did you think about when you read the book? Oh, I haven't read it. Your credibility went from here down to nothing. And I said, are you telling me you haven't read, but you're going to say something like that? And I said, look, here's what it says. It's just absolute lie from the first page of what they said. So needless to say, I've sent books out to other people. This person's getting, they asked for a book. I said, I give you a book. I said, as a matter of fact, you want to talk to Rabbi Shapira? I can make arrangements. Or as a matter of fact, you know the person who's saying these things? You know, he unfriended me on Facebook mysteriously. And I said, you know, I can make arrangements for him to meet Rabbi too. He'd love to meet him and talk openly in front of people. And we got a question to ask and have. Lashon hara doesn't like that. Lashon hara likes this. You know, the lady in the back in the red hat, I don't like her. She's blah, 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 and then does this. That's what lashon hara does. But the words, now her reputation has been compromised. But I've hid behind, that's lashon hara. The worst stuff is when you don't even know what you're talking about, and you just do it it's going to make me look better, feel better by having something totally. And you know, everyone does these things. We can say something, I probably shouldn't have said that. That's one thing, but you're talking about crazy accusational lies that can be proven out not to be true if someone would take the time to actually look at something. This is why Matthew 18 exists. You got a problem with your brother? Then go talk to him. And go. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to. Oh, well, they said this, and they said you did that. I didn't do anything. I don't know the person. I've never even talked to them. Try and get a hold of them. Hey, never return your call. Like, well, we're all free to do and say what we want to do. We're not all free to do and say what we want to do and still be pleasing to God. Not right. Not right. Sara'at during biblical times would come on people. It was common enough to where you still see it happening when Yeshua was around, where there was a whole group of lepers. It was like our homeless situation. There was enough of them around. Living on the street, living outside of the blessing of God. By something that they had brought upon themselves. See, leprosy is always taught as you hear it in the churches. Oh, the man with the leper and he's walking unclean, unclean, unclean. He's not saying that because he's contagious. He's saying that because if you come into contact with him, you may get it too, because you may subject yourself to the same sin by hearing his Lashon Hara. Don't come talk to me. In Judaism, it's said Lashon Hara kills three people. The person who tells it, you're damaged by saying it to someone else. And again, everyone is guilty of this to some degree. I'm not saying, I've said things. I say, man, why did I say it? I shouldn't have said that. But, how many know there's a scale of just, something just, you shouldn't have said that, to just, oh my gosh, I can't believe you would ever utter such words. Secondly, the person who hears it. This is the one who's walking by the leper. Leper saying, unclean, unclean. They say, no, 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 I want to come by you. Hey, let's talk. Blessed is he who walks not in the way of the transgressor, the counsel of the ungodly, the way of the transgressor, or sits in the seat of the scornful, or stands, or wait, walk. It goes from walking to stand, to standing, to sitting. You're walking up somebody, you're talking to them, you get stuck and you stop. And then you're talking to someone, you sit. But his delight is in the one who doesn't do these things. His delight is in the law of God, and on God's law he meditates day and night. Don't commit Lashon Hara. Don't speak evil about your neighbor. That's what he's thinking about. Not, I got to go find out what the gossip is from this guy who apparently has some good, juicy information, because look, he's running around with leprosy. And the third person who is killed is the person about whom it is said. Praise you, Lord. So where do the rabbis, we talk about this all the time. The rabbis, they didn't just make stuff up and just come up with stuff and they just made it. No, they're looking at Torah and they're discussing, hey, this verse in Torah, what does it mean? Well, I think it means this. I think it means that. We have evidence to. So where are the rabbis, where do they get this from, this whole idea? Anybody have an idea? Numbers 12:1. And Miriam, thank you very much. And Aharon spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he married a Cushite woman. A couple things I want to say here. I know a lot of black Hebrew Israelites, I'm friends with them. And this verse just blows away a lot of their theories about all the children of Israel were dark-skinned. And that's fine. Doesn't matter if they're dark or light. But the problem here is that it's very well known, very understood within Judaism that particular, not everybody, particular ones had a problem because she was a Cushite. She was a dark woman of Cush. And it was a skin color issue. That's it. That's pretty well known. You've probably heard this before. Okay. Not everybody. What's that? Exactly. There's racists all over among God's people. So that's the very that is very understood. Black Hebrew Israelites would say that everybody was black. Well, no. See, you know, you're going to take one thing and just run off with it and get into a lot of nonsense unnecessarily. When there are a lot of black Jews in Israel today, many of whom Rabbi Shapiro works with, he's like one of the few that works with them. He keeps them from going to Chabad and different ones. And this is another reason why we work with them, because nobody will help them. And you end up with the people we're helping that I showed you last week. Chabad is everywhere. There's always a Chabad house everywhere. And they can just, the Chabad groups will go, oh, come with us, renounce Messiah, and come and come into normative Judaism. You got to renounce Messiah. That's the problem. Going to normative Judaism with Messiah, a wonderful thing. Going and have to renounce him, told another thing. Numbers 12, 9, and 10. This is after Miriam spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman. Numbers 12, 9, and 10. So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over his tent, behold, Miriam was what? Leprous. Do you think that she caught this, you know, in the cloud? It was contagious? Yeah. There was an armadillo in the cloud, right? There was an armadillo in her pot. Unkosher food, she wasn't. That's really good, brother. Look at this. Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. Very interesting. You can get mad at Moses because he married someone who's dark, and the Lord punished you by making you white. And I'm not talking white Caucasian white. I'm talking white Talit white. And it wasn't just a little spot on her little hair growing out that the... No, this was covered. Polar bear white. Again, do you think she was inside the house and nobody saw her? Hide her so no one sees her. No, she's a prophet to Israel. Everybody saw her and knew what was going on. And everyone said, you know, you remember Monopoly? You go to jail, and what did it say? Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go straight to jail. She didn't start off with one little spot. Oh, priest, is this what I think it is? And no one else saw but her and the priest. No, she went white. It didn't progress to all of the stones in her house turned leprous. No, she was white. It was like she didn't have leprosy. She was leprosy. It didn't come upon her slowly and gradually. It said the cloud was gone and just like that, she had it. And everybody knew what she had been saying and what she had been doing. You think Moses didn't know that his new wife, his sister didn't like her? And his brother didn't like her? I thank God all my siblings love Stacy. As a matter of fact, I told her a couple days ago, I said, you know what, Stacy? I don't mean this exactly, but I mean it kind of. I think even my own mom likes you more than me. Anyway. But it's a wonderful, thank you, it's a wonderful thing. When you do what's right, people are going to like you. Either going to like you or they're going to hate you. One of the two. And sometimes you can get in trouble just because of the color of your skin. Just because, you know, you're past a certain age, or you're below a certain age, or you're too skinny, or you're too big, or you're too this, or you're too that. People are going to find a way to like you or not. People are going to find a way to like you in spite of whatever. And people are going to find any little thing. If they don't like you, they're going to find any little thing they can. They're going to be looking for that little leprous, tiny little spot. Lashon hara. Avoid it. Amen? As much as if you were sick, I would send you to the hospital to see our dear sister in the back to take x-rays of you. You get Lashon hara, there ain't no x-ray that she can do is going to help you. Or you get Zara'at leprosy, they can't help you in the hospital. You think the doctors there can help? No. Not at all. Hallelujah. Lepers in the Bible needed to be separated, not because of a contagious disease, but because of the contagion of Lashon Hara. Does this give you a different perspective of this? This means that the lepers were to blame for their own leprosy. See, this is where the problem is. Here's what it also means. This means that the lepers, all they had to do was, there was a way for a leper to become clean again. How was it? They had to repent of it, for one, and they had to bring an offering to the temple to make atonement, a public act of contrition, and then show themselves to the priest. Once the leprosy was gone, they were free. So all those 10 or 12 lepers that came, was it 12 lepers came to see Messiah? 10, 12? I don't remember the number. Is it 10? And nine left, one came back. All of them, they could have had the leprosy dealt with a long time ago. Couldn't keep their mouth shut. All they had to do was repent, zip it, go to the priest, present the offering that Moses commanded, be inspected by the priest, go into the mikvah, etc. And they would have been right back at home and enjoying life again. But leprosy spreads from a person even to your house, and all your stuff becomes contaminated. It has to be. Remember, they would tear down someone's house, and they would tear down stone by stone. They would take it all the way into the area, the trash bin, or the area in Hebrew that they refer to as the area where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's almost like they take it to hell, is where the stuff would be burned, the rubbish and everything else. So does that tell you that we actually have a choice in what we do? Evil speech spreads like a disease, infecting everyone around us, and we're told not to share Lashon Hara. And write this down. Even if the story is true, that's very hard. In today's day and age, oh my gosh, that's incredibly hard. Remember the parties it hurts. One, the person who tells it. Two, the person who hears it. Three, the person about who it's told. In Judaism, there's a belief that there's a physical ailment. It's from a spiritual sin. Matthew 9:1. You want to turn there, Yeshua says, so he stepped into a boat, crossed the lake again, and came to his own town. Where's his own town? Capernaum, Capernaum. It says some people brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mattress. When Yeshua saw their trust, or in Hebrew it says faith, emunah, he said to the paralyzed man, courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. Didn't seem like they brought him there for his sins to be forgiven. And then just by reading it, looks like they brought him there because he was paralyzed. But Messiah said, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Some of the dangers of Lashon Hara: disrespecting someone made in the same image of God that you're made in. And Pastor Matt, who actually did this course, one thing he said, and I thought, wow. In church settings, sadly, whenever you have people together, there's this kind of stuff. Synagogue, church, whatever. But he said, when people are getting together praying, be real careful. People say, you know, I heard, you know, such and such, you know, she's not here because, you know. And they imply that the person is up to evil. Or under the guises of, oh, we need to pray for such and such. Because, you know, is that Lashon Hara? Yeah, absolutely. You get people thinking, okay, what did they, what's going on? So we got to be careful about that. Remember, the Torah teachers were offended not that this may have been connected to sin, but that Yeshua claimed to have the power to forgive sin. See, even the Torah teachers acknowledge, yeah, they recognize it was connected to sin, but they were mad because Yeshua forgave them of the sin. They never said, oh, no, he's not sick because he's got sin. John 9, as Yeshua passed along, he saw a man blind from birth. His Talmudim asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, to cause him to be born blind? They recognized that. Now, Yeshua goes on to say something to the effect that this happens for the glory of God, that he'll be healed for the glory of God. But they recognized that there was a connection between him being born blind and sin that crept in. Even Rabbi Shaul hints at this in 1 Corinthians 1:11. For a person who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. So something that someone is doing is causing them to bring judgment upon themselves. This is why many are weak and sick, and some have died, because they're not recognizing the body. What does that mean, recognizing the body? You know, when you recognize someone else is made in the image of God just like you are, it's a little different saying something negative or evil about them than it is Hitler, say. Totally different. But when you recognize, especially someone, again, these are talking to Jews. These are all the, whether you like them or not, they were Jews under the same covenant as you were, whether they were the worst Jew ever or the best. Same covenant, same promises of God. Jewish thinking on this, Yeshua had the power to forgive. And again, notice that he was talking about forgiving of sin. They didn't like that. And so what do? They accused him. Oh, who do you think you are? There we go, that again. But they were right. Yeah, he knew who he was. But it's a common belief that sin could lead to that manifestation. Hallelujah. So the last thing I want to add here. Yeshua was kind to lepers. He didn't turn them away. He didn't reject them. You know, the ones he got mad at the most were his brothers, his fellow Pharisees who knew better and who were abusing the people. Those are the ones he got mad at. So I've got a couple questions for you. If leprosy was caused by evil speech, how would we treat those whose sin was obvious? It's right there for everyone to see. You couldn't even go to synagogue or to the temple because of this. And people knew, man, what, you know, they're not here because, and they have leprosy and they're out. And they won't come back because they won't repent. Everyone knew that they had sinned. A significant sin. Remember, all the Ten Commandments are always connected to how we treat God or how we treat one another. That's everything's connected to. Relationship, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is built upon relationships. Not being perfect, not being pious or whatever. Relationships. So how would we treat people whose sin is obvious? Tzara'at, the Hebrew word for leprosy, it's related to the word that means trouble or affliction. So you can say, how do we treat somebody who's in trouble? Is visibly in trouble, our brothers or sisters, visibly in trouble and afflicted. How do we treat them? It seems to me like they need more help than the one who is not in trouble or afflicted. Even when they're in the state of uncleanness because they won't repent. As the verses relate, Miriam's punishment was to become white as snow with leprosy. The rabbis taught that the root cause of the spiritual disease, Lashon Hara, literally the evil tongue, was this. I have a question written here that I was asking to myself. Are there people in your life that you can see their sin is obvious? What do you do? What do you do? And I'm not even necessarily talking about brother. Think about neighbors. Think about people at work who you think about people who maybe you work with who don't know the Lord and you don't like. I was trying not to look in your direction, see? But you know, see, but it's good you said that. You know why? Because just the fact that you were honest enough to say, oh man, tells me a couple of things. Tells me, one, you're not comfortable just to treat them bad. It tells me that you want to do what's right, but man, it's tough. Is that about right? Yeah. I work from home. I go and I'm in my pajamas a lot of the day, comfortable on the phone with customers all around the world. And they have no idea. I'm working a little office in our home and they think they were just this big old giant belt empire. I've got cats crawling across my desk as I'm working. But I have those people, the customers that, you know, someone sends to me that this problem, they're mad, and there's a, you know, and I got to call them up on the phone. And before I call them up, I read all what's going on. I'm just, oh boy. Oh, gosh, I call them up. And I just want to hang up and say things. Scream, pull the rest of my hair out, etc. Yeah. If I had to, yeah. That's about what's left. Yeah. If you start hearing somebody shouting out, unclean, unclean, then give me a call. Ooh, hallelujah. So again, Lashon Hara is the halachic or the Jewish legal term for derogatory speech about another person. And it differs from defamation in that its focus is on the use of true speech for a wrongful purpose rather than falsehood and harm arising. You know, if you're telling, if something, you know, if you're, say, a witness to something in court and you say, you tell them what happened and you tell them what evil thing the person did, that's not Lashon Hara. But if you're telling other people something with the idea of it bringing them harm, that's where the problem is. My last question on the page here, really good one, a couple of them. So we see people who have the habit, who have habits outside that are unrighteous for all to see. And so this is the question I want to leave you with to chew on. How would our body look if all of our inner sin and inner zara'at were revealed? Dorian Gray, yeah. The picture, right. Wow, I haven't thought about that in a long time. Yeah, absolutely. And Yeshua, he said, he was talking to his brothers, his friends, his cousins, the Pharisees, and he said to them, look, he called them whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones. Same kind of idea about a lot of nasty stuff inside, but they look nice. You know, we can show up on Shabbat and look nice and smell nice. So we have to be, as Messianics, even more aware of things that a lot of people have never been taught. They don't even know. They don't even know that they don't know. So any other questions or comments? It makes them look better. Yeah, it does. It makes them look worse. The situation, I'll get to you guys both. The situation I was talking about with Rabbi Shapiro, it's pretty much someone doing that, trying to use what he's doing, the Lord is blessing all over, to have something, they come out of left field from nowhere to have something negative say, they don't even know what they're, theologically what they're talking about. And as Jews, oh my gosh, you don't recognize Lashon Hara in what you're doing? That's not right. Go ahead, Casey, then, go ahead, Lisa. Trolls, yeah, exactly. We had one on Facebook following us, and he had something to say. Okay, all right. Answered his question. You know, then he comes back again a couple weeks later, something says, and you know what? You know, I've already answered the question, and you're not responding to it, so I just click. block. You know, we're not going to, we give people a chance to say something and talk, but I don't have time to argue with stuff that's, you know. He's, oh, well, you can't prove anything of what you just said. Okay, wonderful. Yeah, I can't prove that God exists. What do you want him to do, show up and manifest himself here before you're going to recognize he exists? I mean, okay, wonderful. Keep on watching. A few weeks later, the same kind of thing. Oh, you can't, you know. I don't have time for that. Yeah, go ahead, Casey. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You don't love yourself, you're taking other people. And then the other part of it is, you know, that would something that would stop you from doing that is recognizing that you need to love your neighbor and not do something to them that you wouldn't want them to do unto you. And the whole Torah, that's the whole Torah is about that. Loving God, loving your neighbor. The rest is commentary, as Hillel said. Anybody else have any questions or comments, thoughts? So you guys enjoy this? Good. It give you something to think about and to use to help someone else out with? Question, comment? Well, work ourselves, exactly. Exactly. That's, you know what? You got to start somewhere, right? Good place to start, so. Oh, spirits attached to them and all that. Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things where if you hear someone teach something like that and it bears witness what your spirit and Lord is telling you to, then yeah, absolutely go ahead and, you know, follow that. Yeah, because you did something and you're at peace with God, so you can have peace regardless of what. Yeah, no, I agree. Is this that one particular? Yeah. Mrs. I. No, I understand. I mean, we all got things to overcome, and just as soon as we think that we've arrived, then all of a sudden something else comes to deal with. So, yeah. Every time, I know. Every time and twice on Shabbat, right? All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and stand up.